There's a pasuk in Micha. Pasuk in Micha is in Perek Zayin, pasuk Ches. You probably have heard this pasuk before in a bunch of different ways. Al tismichi o yavti li. Micha says, I don't want my enemies to be happy about me. Ki nafalti kamti. Even when I fall, I want to be able to get up. Ki eshe b'choshech Hashem or li. When I sit in the darkness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be my light, will be my or. Then no matter what happens, I'll always be able to get up, see the light through the darkness. Things are going to get better. Chazal explained this in a different fashion than this, that even in the darkness I'm going to get up. It says, had I not fallen, had that not happened, had I not been in darkness, I wouldn't have been able to get up. I wouldn't be able to see the light. It's because I was in total darkness, because I had all these issues, therefore, I'm able to bring myself out and I'm able to see the truth. And possibly even more so, the way the Chazal are putting it, it's the Medrash that says that we only bring ourselves to find that MS, that Torah, that ability to find something, it's from the horrible darkness. From everything else, everything becomes brighter. The concept is that when you have a candle, and we're learning in Psachim, right? If you have a candle during the daytime, it doesn't have as much of an effect as a candle at night. If you're searching for something in a crack, in a dark hole, during the day with a candle, the candle is not as effective as it would be at night in the exact same spot. We're not talking about a place on the windowsill, where obviously the day is pouring in, the daylight is tremendous to be able to see. But in a crack, candles work better at night than they do during the day. In Bereishis Rabbah, it's in Perek Samachay. I learned this with a few boys last year. There was a person by the name of Yosef Meshisa. Could be Meshicha in some, but Yosef Meshisa. He came with the Romans onto Har HaBayis. The Romans came to destroy. Yosef Meshisa was a Jew, a Meshumid, person who went off and joined the Roman army. And he wanted to show them how to be able to get on. This is not Josephus and not that. But he wanted to show them how to be able to get on, what to do, how to circumvent certain issues that you might have up there. He wanted to show them where everything was. He knew where some of the treasure boxes were, the stuff that was hidden. He was the one that was coming in. The Romans didn't want to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They didn't want to go into the Kodesh. They were afraid. Now, they knew that the Kodesh HaKadoshim did not contain the Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh had been gone since Yoshiah of the first Beis HaMikdash. That was gone. So the Kodesh HaKadoshim was basically empty. The Eben Shesiah, nothing else in there. The Kodesh, however, still contained the menorah, possibly more. We don't know what was in the second Beis HaMikdash exactly. The Mizbeach Hazav, the Shulchan. That definitely exists in the Kodesh itself. The Romans didn't want to walk in. They were scared. They said, to walk into the Beis HaMikdash, this is God's house. We can't do it. Can't do it. So they turned to Yosef Meshisa. They said, we want someone to go in first. If you go in first, and you show us that it's safe to walk in, then we'll give you anything you want in the entire Beis HaMikdash. You can pick one thing that's yours, and you can keep it. That's your gift for going in first. Yosef Meshisa was so out, so gone from Klal Yisrael, so gone. He said, not a problem. Walks into the Kodesh. He was not a Kohen. Walks into it. Was definitely not Tahor either. Walks into the Kodesh and picks up the menorah. The golden menorah. The 18 tefach menorah. Somewhere around this high. I'm sure it was extremely heavy. Maybe it's he pulled it, dragged it, whatever it was. But he pulled this out and he grabbed the menorah and he said, I want to keep this for myself. The Romans took a look at the menorah and said, you keep that? That belongs to a king. That belongs to an emperor. That's going to be worth more than everything you have combined. That's ridiculous for you to have. It just doesn't make any sense. He said, you shouldn't take that. We're giving you advice, the Roman said. You shouldn't take that. The menorah doesn't belong with you. Pick anything else you want, but you can't have the menorah. Yosef Meshisa just got hit. He said, I'm not going back in. Not going back in. I angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu once. I can't anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu a second time. The Roman said, what's your problem? You just walked in. You just picked up the menorah. You picked up the most precious, I don't know if you want to argue the Mizbeach Hazav, the Shulchan of the menorah, the most precious thing that you could possibly find inside there. You took it for yourself, and now you don't want to walk back in? Yosef Meshisa had it. He said, I'm not going back in. I'm not doing it a second time. So what did the Romans do? They tortured him. They tortured him. They said, go back in. Go back in and take another treasure. You can have anything. Just go back in. And he wouldn't go. Started pushing him, beating him up. Started cutting off parts of his body. He wouldn't go in. In the end, he refused. He called out loud, cried out loud, woe to me that I angered my creator. And then he died. That's one story that's brought in the Medrash. What in the world is happening here? How did that happen? What happened in between? He went in to the Kodesh, which no one can go into, as a Tamei Yisrael, a Tamei Zor. He walks into the Kodesh, picks out the menorah, and then the Romans say to him, no, take anything else. Take anything else you want. And he says, no? He doesn't want to go back in? So what happened? He didn't realize how far he had fallen. He didn't realize the depths that he had fallen to until all of a sudden the Romans are afraid to walk in, but he's okay with it. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what happens to people walk into the Kodesh. Your chayiv, misa, karis, depending. He knows what's going to be with this. And to take out the menorah, you are going to keep the menorah for yourself? That's what you're going to do? The Kodesh, the Me'ilah aspects, everything. That's what you're going to do? You're going to take that? When he saw how far he had fallen, how gone he was, it hit him. The Romans are telling him, we don't want to go in. The Romans are telling him, you shouldn't take that. That's too good. That's too good. Once he heard that, he said, I can't believe this. I can't believe who I am. I can't believe what kind of a person he is. And at that moment, he felt thoughts of tshuva. Had he not walked into the Beis HaMikdash the first time, had he not walked in, had he not picked up the menorah, if he would have picked up something else, let's say he would have picked up the shulchan, and he would have taken the shulchan out, and the people, the Romans would have said, good idea, that's a nice thing for you to take. He would have gone home, and nothing would have happened. He would have been chayiv karis, he would have been chayiv misa. It would have been a horrible situation for him. But because he got himself so far down, because he went so low, he was able to find a way to bring himself back. I don't know what happened to Yosef Meshiza. This is not one of those stories where, like, he turned into Rebel Yashiv. I don't know. I don't know the end. It doesn't say at the end of the Medrash, Yosef Meshiza got a chelik in Olam Haba. It doesn't say that. In Avodah Zarah and Yerches it says that. In Avodah Zarah and Dav Tazayin it says that. Those stories we know. You could be Kona Olamo B'Shaw Achas. This is not a Kona Olamo B'Shaw Achas story. And if it is, it's not brought in the Medrash that it's a Kona Olamo B'Shaw Achas. That's not what it says. But the concept is this pasuk. Ki eshev b'choshech. When I sit in darkness, when I'm so far down, when things are horrible for me, then Hashem Orli. HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes my light. I'm able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you go that far down, when you're that low, all of a sudden you can find a way to be able to come out. You can bring yourself back. Midrash brings another story. Yakum, the nephew of Yossi ben Yoezer. Yossi ben Yoezer we know from the Gemara. Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan. Maybe you don't know him from the Gemara. Maybe you know him from Pirkei Avos. One of the Zugos, the Tanoim, before the Tanoim, Yossi ben Yoezer was being taken out to be killed by whoever it was at the time. Either it was the Greeks or the Romans. Likely it was the Greeks. Probably it was during the times of the Chashmonaim, and likely it was somehow during the story of Hanukkah. But Yosef ben Yoezer is being taken out to be killed. Yakum is riding on a horse. It's Shabbos. As his uncle is being taken out to be killed, he's riding on a horse, seeing what's happening. He turns over, and he sees Yosef ben Yoezer, and he says, check out the horse my master gave me. What has your master given you? That's what he said over to Yosef ben Yoezer. And Yosef ben Yoezer answered, if this is the reward of those who don't keep God's word, then you can imagine what my reward is going to be. That's what Yosef ben Yoezer said to Yaakov. Yaakov said, your reward? You're being taken out to be killed. You're being punished. Your master is killing you. So Yosef ben Yoezer said, if this is the punishment that you get while listening to God's word, then imagine the punishment you get for not listening to God's word. And when Yaakov heard that, he was shocked. He couldn't believe it. Yaakov stopped himself, got off the horse, and made a contraption. He did skila, srepa, herig, and chenek all at once on himself, killed himself in all four ways, and died before Yosef ben Yoezer was killed by the Greek or Roman government. He died beforehand. As his neshama left his body, a bas kol came out and said, welcome Yakum to Gan Eden. This one it says that he went to Gan Eden. And Yossi ben Yoazer said out loud, he said, in a moment of emes, in one moment of a rega emes, he said, he was able to get to Gan Eden before me. Yaakov was able to get there before me. The same basic idea, the same basic story. Had Yossi ben Yoazer's nephew Yaakov, had he not said anything, had he not been riding the horse, had he not been doing something on Shabbos, had he not spoken to Yossi ben Yoazer, if he wouldn't have done anything, nothing would have happened. Yaakov would have continued on his way, everything would have been the same. Only when he got that little bit of muster, when he was so down and out, that on the date his uncle is being taken out to be killed, there's no question he had respect for him at one time. There's no question that Yaakov at some point had a respect for the Nasi of the generation of Yossi ben Yoazer. But because this is where he was at that time, he couldn't deal with it anymore. He brought himself out. He was able to pull himself out and become this person, a person that went straight to Gan Eden. Straight to Olam Haba. We say, Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Do tshuva b'nei Yisrael. Till HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki kashalta ba'avonech. Because you have tripped up in your sins. Because you tripped up in your sins. Because you've sinned, you'll know how to do tshuva. You're a person who stayed up late to watch a TV show, to watch a movie, to do something that you know was the wrong thing to do. So you know what it means to stay up late to learn a little bit extra. You know what it means. You're not a person who's just going to be like, well, I'll do the normal things. I'll do everything normal. If you know what it means to sin, then you know what it means to do a mitzvah. You know how to treat it properly and to redo it in the best possible way. You're not going to be complacent. You're not just going to live. You're going to work harder because that's what it means. Ki koshalta b'avanecha. You know what you did. So shuvi Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Bring yourself back. Ad Hashem Elokecha. Then you can get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your Lord, your God. You can get yourself up there. Without it, it's very difficult. It's very, very difficult to do. If you come late to Shacharis, then what happens? Well, it fades away. Somebody would ask you later on, hey, did you go to Shacharis? You answer, yes. You did go to Shacharis, 100%. You went, but you were late. You didn't go to all of Shacharis. If Shacharis starts at 7:30, and you got there, let's just say, at 7:31, then you're going to say that you went to Shacharis. But you didn't. You didn't go to all of Shacharis. You should say, to be honest, I was late to Shacharis. Maybe you had a good excuse, maybe you didn't. Didn't matter. At the end of the day, did you go to Shacharis? The answer is, not exactly. I did not do what I was entirely supposed to do. If you come a minute late to Seder, again, there's nothing wrong with coming late a minute late to Seder in theory. If people come late, it's fine, it happens, it happens. But if you say you learned, if you wanted to put down your hours for the day, if you go to work and you say you were there at 9 o'clock and you got in at 9:01, you weren't there at 9 o'clock. Aside from the gneva aspect of stealing from your employer if you came a minute late, let's get rid of that for a second. If you clock yourself in a minute late, you're a minute late. Your employer can fire you. I wanted you here by 9, you weren't here by 9. If you're supposed to be here at 9:15, you come 1 minute late, then you weren't there at 9:15. It's not that that's the worst thing in the world. The worst thing in the world is murdering somebody. Fine. It's not the worst thing in the world. But it's still, it's not like you were there. You didn't learn for 3 hours that day. You learned from somebody else. You learned for 2 hours and 59 minutes. Let's say, just giving an answer, let's say someone is paying you to be here. Let's say you're not paying your own way through. Someone else is paying your way through yeshiva. And that person is expecting to be getting schar for the learning that you're doing. I'm paying for you, so I'm getting some of the learning that you're doing. So let's get rid of the batala aspect. Batala will throw out for a second. But if you spend 1 minute that you don't come here for, then that guy shouldn't be paying you for that 1 minute. So then you're stealing from that employer. Again, you can ask the employer, do you mind if I do this, do you mind if I do that? Somebody has the ability. But nonetheless, you don't have it. See, sometimes, and I'm not going to give this as a suggestion, just saying, sometimes it's better to have missed Shacharis completely than to have come late. What do I mean by that? You miss Shacharis completely, you feel bad. You miss Shacharis completely, you say, I feel horrible. I'm going to do better next time. I'm going to make sure that I do make it next time because I can't believe I did this. But if you come a minute late, 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late, you say to yourself, hey, what's the big deal? I came. I was there. Sometimes it's better not to show up. And kikoshalta bahonecha. It's that you can improve on yourself rather than come that minute or two late and then all of a sudden it's different. How to make yourself better? You make yourself better by being in the darkness, by putting yourself in, not putting yourself, by being in a bad situation and pulling yourself out, knowing what to do, because I was in that situation. I saw what happened. Otherwise, nothing changes. You're just the same person that you were. That koach is in every single person. Every person. And you've seen it yourself. You probably have a friend, more than one friend, who you know has done the worst things on earth. Things that you cannot, never imagine that guy doing. You can't imagine most people doing. And that guy went to a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, or went to a yeshiva in America, and became a totally different person. Worked on himself and became, look at this guy. Look at what happened to him. And you know why? Because he knows what he was and he knows what he wants to be. He pushed himself. He brought himself to a struggle to keep Shabbos, to keep kosher, to keep everything. And that made him into a different person. I'm not saying it happens to everybody, but so many people, I can name you tens of people that were not from, not religious, didn't want to do anything. And brought themselves up because that's what kind of people they were. They wanted to become something different. And they pushed themselves. And other guys, they didn't really want to push themselves. They wanted to be what was. One of the most telling speeches at the end when I was in yeshiva and Beis Yisrael, at the end of his third year, fourth year, they usually speak afterward. This guy got up and he spoke and he said, I could have chosen one of two different places. I was going to go to a yeshiva that was a very high level yeshiva, or I could have gone to the yeshiva that I went to Beis Yisrael. Had I gone to that very, very high-level yeshiva, I would have had to push myself, and I would have changed my whole life, and I would have been a big, big rub somewhere. But I decided to go here, and therefore, I'm going to be a good balabas. That was the end of his speech. That was it. That was it. You know him, by the way. But that was it. That was the end of the speech. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. That's it? That's what you wanted? I'm not saying that everybody has to be the biggest rub in the world. Fine. But to push yourself a little bit past what your regular borders are, you went to a place because you didn't want to become better? What does that mean? How does anybody live a life that way? Your whole life is going to be that way. Forget about regular life. Marriage is going to have to be that way. If you don't strive to be the best husband, you're going to stink. And I'm going to hear from it because your wives are going to call me and complain to me that I didn't teach you well enough. It's going to be horrible. You always want to be the best husband, the best guy, the best person. It's what you want to do. And sometimes it takes a little bit in order to get there. So what's been Zman? What's this whole, we miss Zman? It's so funny. Like, it's the greatest job in the world to be in yeshiva. The greatest job. Well, you get, I don't even know how many weeks technically most of you got over the summer itself. Let's assume you worked. But let's say that you had the internships going or whatever it is, right? But 2.5 months off, at least a month off, in the summer, then another 2 weeks and a couple weeks from now, coming up Sukkot, right? Then you have a Thanksgiving break, then you have a winter break, then you have a Pesach break, which is almost like 2.5 weeks, and then you go right into, right, a summer. Who in the world gets that? You know how many days you're going to get off when you're working? 14, if you're lucky, 14 days. Do you know what that's like? It's a different world. It's a completely different world. We fell. Everybody falls. You have a ben hazmanim, you fall. You wasted time. You did things you shouldn't have done. You weren't able to get to the chakras you wanted to go to. You slept later. Mincha marav was a challenge. You were always wondering, should I ditch dinner in order to go? Should I do this? It's a challenge. Those were days of darkness. The days where the sun was out for longer, but they were pure days of darkness. You weren't able to do what you wanted to do. From that, you can bring yourself up. From that, you can push yourselves into an Elzman where there's light for you, where you can see that you can push yourself a little bit better. The Elzman washes away all of the darkness that you had and it's able to light up something for you. I can change. I can be somebody different and I want to be somebody different. I want to change and I want to push myself. Complacency doesn't look good on anyone. Doesn't. You look at a guy who's just sitting there, he doesn't look good. You want to be a worker. You want to be a plugger. You want to accomplish the pasuk and say, "Al tismichi o yavti li." I don't want my enemies to be happy when they see me. Ki eshev b'choshecho Hashem or li. I'm sitting in the darkness. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu be that or for me. Do what Micha says you should. Take that yetzer hara that was there, beat him down, and turn him into a yetzer tov. Make him into a different thing. And that goal is to become that thinking human being. To consider, what did you think about? What did you do? How did you treat yourself over the summer? And push yourself now to be different. Push yourself now to have a different thought process, a different idea. Who do you want to be? What do you want to become? Do you want to push yourself, or do you want to just allow yourself to keep doing what you've been doing? And if you're going to push yourself, what are you going to push yourself in? What are you going to concentrate on? You're going to concentrate on your davening. You're going to concentrate on your learning. You're going to concentrate on what? On your brachos. On your bein adam l'chavero. On other aspects of bein adam l'makom. What do you want to do? And push. Push. And become that person that sees the ore. That's able to take that candle in the darkness and find that light, and it's such a pure, clear light. Such a pure, clear light. Try to bring yourself to that. Should be zochet to have an amazing Elul Zman, an amazing Zman of Yeshiva. Have a good day.